So here we have the burden of those called to bear the messianic message. In addition to teaching, encouraging, and cheering people on, that's the pleasant part of discipleship. From time to time, these same messengers are called upon to worry, to warn, and sometimes just to weep. That's the painful part of discipleship. They know full well that the road leading to the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, of necessity runs by way of Mount Sinai, flowing with thou shalts and thou shalt nots. Unfortunately, messengers of divinely mandated commandments are often no more popular today than they were anciently. Hate is an ugly word. Yet there are those today who would say, with the corrupt Ahab, "I hate the prophet Micaiah, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always prophesied evil." That kind of hate for a prophet's honesty cost Abinadi his life. As he said to King Noah, "Because I've told you the truth, you are angry with me. Because I've spoken the word of God, you have judged me that I am mad." Or we might add, provincial, patriarchal, bigoted, unkind, narrow, outmoded, and elderly.
Hi, this is Ben, and thank you for tuning into the final scripture highlight of the week, found in 1 Kings chapter 22. This story starts out with King Ahab as king of the northern kingdom of Israel, and Jehoshaphat as the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. And Ahab is about to be attacked, and goes down to Jehoshaphat to ask for help. By this time in the history of Israel, there is some intermarrying between the two kingdoms, and some friendliness between the two. And Jehoshaphat is a good man, unlike King Ahab. So Jehoshaphat agrees to stand with Ahab in Israel. But before he sends his army to battle, Jehoshaphat tells Ahab to first find out if the Lord thinks they should engage in this battle. So Ahab gathered together the prophets of Israel, which were numbered about 400 men, and asked them if they should engage in this battle, or if they should forbear or back down. And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver the battle into the hand of the king." So you have 400 prophets agreeing to this unanimous decision to go to battle. But Jehoshaphat looks at this group and doesn't seem to trust them, and turns to Ahab and asks, "Isn't there another prophet of the Lord who we could ask?" Apparently, Jehoshaphat seems to be saying, "I appreciate the help of all these men, but can't we get a real prophet out here?" And Ahab looks at Jehoshaphat and says, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him." You've got to love that response. "Well, yeah, there's Micaiah, he's around here, but I hate him." And why does Ahab hate Micaiah? He said, "For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." This story is kind of funny. This chapter is the first time you hear about the prophet Micaiah, and it's also the last. You hear all about Elijah and how Ahab and Jezebel want to take out all of their anger on him and have him killed. But when it comes to Micaiah, man, Ahab just hates him. And why? Because Micaiah has never once prophesied a single good thing about me. That guy tells me the things I do are evil and that bad things are going to happen to me. And Jehoshaphat stops Ahab and says, "Hey, let's not speak about God's prophet like that." In any case, it looks like Jehoshaphat's not willing to go to battle unless they first talk to Micaiah. So they sent for Micaiah and essentially said to him, "Look, Micaiah, all the other guys have told King Ahab what he wants to hear. So please just nod your head, follow along, and with everyone else, just let the king have his way." But Micaiah responded, saying, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So Micaiah came to the king, and Ahab asked, Hey Micaiah, so should we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or not? And he answered him, Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. At this point, Ahab knows something is up, because Micaiah, God's prophet who never seems to side with the popular worldly opinion, and certainly not with the mind of King Ahab, seems now to be telling Ahab exactly what he wants to hear. So Ahab responded, saying, Look, Micaiah, how many times do I have to tell you to just tell me the truth? And this says something about their past relationship. Either this isn't the first time Micaiah has facetiously rolled his eyes and told Ahab what he wants to hear, or every time Ahab has gone to Micaiah in the past, he's just never satisfied with the prophet's response. So you can almost see Micaiah now shrugging his shoulders and thinking, Fine, I'll tell you what I really saw. And then Micaiah prophesied about Ahab's death. And sure enough, despite Ahab's efforts to disguise himself in battle and trick his opponent, he did die in that battle, and the dogs licked up his blood. So what are we to learn from this? Elder Jeffrey R. Holland went on to say,
It is as the Lord himself lamented to the prophet Isaiah. These children will not hear the law of the Lord. They say to the seers, See not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Sadly enough, my young friends, it is a characteristic of our age that if people want any gods at all, they want them to be gods who do not demand much. Comfortable gods, smooth gods, who not only don't rock the boat, but don't even row it. Gods who pat us on the head, make us giggle, then tell us to run along and pick marigolds. Talk about man creating God in his own image. Sometimes, and this seems the greatest irony of all, these folks invoke the name of Jesus as one who was this kind of comfortable God. Really? He who said, not only should we not break commandments, but we should not even think about breaking them? And if we do think about breaking them, we've already broken them in our heart. Does that sound like comfortable doctrine, easy on the ear, and popular down at the Village Love Inn? And what of those who want to look at sin or touch it from a distance? Jesus said with a flash, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. I came not to bring peace but a sword. He warned those who thought he spoke only soothing platitudes. No wonder that sermon after sermon, the local communities, and I quote, prayed him to depart out of their coasts. No wonder, miracle after miracle, his power was attributed not to God, but to the devil. It's obvious that the bumper sticker question, what would Jesus do, will not always bring a popular response. At the zenith of his mortal ministry, Jesus said, Love one another as I have loved you. To make certain they understood exactly what kind of love that was, he said, If you love me, keep my commandments. And whosoever shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be the least in the kingdom of heaven.
Friends, God does not call prophets to speak pleasantries. He does not anoint men to be his mouthpiece on the earth simply so that man can do whatever selfish or disgusting thing he wants and then feel validated in the eyes of God after doing it. No, God calls prophets to guide us home. And when you live in a world saturated in sin, with everyone looking at nearly every issue with a me-centered mentality, when even some people who claim to be faithful disciples of Christ openly oppose his anointed prophets for whatever reason, when this is the reality of the world you live in, we thank thee, O God, for a prophet. How we need a prophet, seer, and revelator. Someone like Micaiah, who can figuratively see around corners, who can have a strong sense of what might be coming and how to prepare for it, who talk with God, who receive regular and direct revelation to guide his covenant people home as they work to accomplish the salvation and exaltation of his willing children. If you can't tell, I have a great love for God's prophets. They are mortal men, yes, but they carry with them a mantle and a calling and spiritual foresight and heavenly wisdom and help that is found nowhere else on this earth. I would choose to follow God's prophet before following the best attempt of advice offered by the most advanced research and education this world has to offer. In many cases, the two will align, but there will be many cases in which they will not. There will be, just as in the days of Elijah and Micaiah, times when the prophet's counsel makes absolutely no logical sense to a mortal mind. It may appear to be counterintuitive. In fact, it might be counterintuitive to eyes that cannot see things as they really are. But bottom line, the prophet's words will always lead us to spiritual safety. And if we follow God's prophet in every instance, we have the guarantee that there is no possible way in this universe that we will miss out on the prized blessing of eternal life. You might recognize these words from the most recent General Conference. A word about the 15 servants of God seated behind me. While the worldly say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not, the faithful are crowned with blessings from above, yea, with commandments not a few, and with revelations in their time. Not surprisingly, these men frequently become the lightning rods for those unhappy with the word of God, as the prophets proclaim it. Those who reject the prophets don't realize that no prophecy of the scripture is to be of any private interpretation or the result of the will of man, but that holy men of God speak now as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. Like Paul, these men of God are not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and are his prisoners in the sense that the doctrine they teach is not theirs, but his who called them. Like Peter, they cannot but speak the things which they have seen and heard. I testify that the First Presidency and the Quorum of the Twelve are good and honest men who love God and his children and who are loved by him. Their words we should receive as if from the Lord's own mouth, in all patience and faith. For by doing these things, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us, and the Lord God will disperse the powers of darkness from before us. No unhallowed hand can stop the work from progressing. It will march on triumphantly, with or without you or me. So choose you this day whom you will serve. Don't be fooled or intimidated by the loud adversarial noises emanating from the great and spacious building. Their desperate decibels are no match for the serene influence of the still small voice upon broken hearts and contrite spirits. Close quote. The prophet's voice, while spoken kindly, will often be a voice asking us to change, to repent, and to return to the Lord. When correction is needed, let's not delay, and don't be alarmed when the prophet's warning voice counters popular opinions of the day. The mocking fireballs of annoyed disbelievers are always hurled the moment the prophet begins to speak. As you are humble in following the counsel of the Lord's prophet, I promise you an added blessing of safety and peace. Don't be surprised if at times your personal views are not initially in harmony with the teachings of the Lord's prophet. These are moments of learning, of humility, when we go to our knees in prayer, we walk forward in faith, trusting in God, knowing that with time we will receive more spiritual clarity from our Heavenly Father. Close quote. If you want the references to those quotes, you can find them in the transcript available in the summary of this podcast episode. I hope that you've benefited from this relevant scripture highlight. Thanks for listening to all 5 parts of this week's Come Follow Me scripture highlights. If you're enjoying this podcast, please post about it or send links to your friends and family. Rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and drop a quick review letting other listeners know what you think about these highlights. All of those things will help share the gospel and words of the prophets with others who want to see how current prophetic teachings connect with the weekly Come Follow Me scripture curriculum. Have a wonderful day, a peaceful Sabbath this weekend. Enjoy your scripture study, and remember to keep your hope alive now.